640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. In Boise, Idaho, authorities say multiple people have been hurt in a building collapse near the airport. Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
Unfortunately, there was a collapse of a building that was under construction. So I understand it was a hangar that was under construction. We did have about a dozen people that were impacted as far as being in or around the collapse area.
Hummel wouldn't comment on the condition of those injured. In the U.S. House.
The yeas are 357. The nays are 70.
And passed is a roughly $79 billion tax cut package, expanding the child tax credit and restoring three key tax breaks for businesses. Prospects for the measure becoming law are still uncertain. Social media CEOs are grilled by the Senate Judiciary Committee over online child safety. Senators accuse the platforms of not doing enough to protect children. Discord founder and CEO Jason Citron.
Just like with all technology and tools, there are people who exploit and abuse our platforms for immoral and illegal purposes.
CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur says Congress has held similar hearings in the past.
No matter what came out of these hearings, it is still worth noting that the European Union has done far more to protect people's privacy and to ensure online safety than the U.S. government has been able to do so far.
CBS's David Martin on a close call with a Houthi missile on the Red Sea.
In previous incidents, Houthi missiles fired in the direction of U.S. warships have been intercepted at ranges of 8 to 10 miles. But on Tuesday, the USS Gravely had to rely on its close-in weapon system to shoot down the incoming missile. The U.S. Navy has intercepted scores of Houthi drones and missiles in the Red Sea, but this was the first time the close-in system had to be used.
A U.S. official confirms that the USS Kearney shot down a Houthi ballistic missile and several drones in the Gulf of Aden today. In California, the first of two atmospheric rivers brings rain from Oregon south into Northern California and could lead to flooding and landslides. CAL FIRE's Nick Schuler.
Today, not tomorrow, is the time to talk with your family, support your elderly neighbors, and ensure that you are prepared.
A growing number of people are aiming lasers at airplanes. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says, according to feds, laser strikes surged 41% last year, a record high.
It's dangerous because it can temporarily blind, even injure the pilots, often when they are at a relatively low altitude, like when taking off and landing. It is a crime. It can result in time behind bars. It can result in significant fines.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican bills to ban race-based programs at the universities of Wisconsin are moving through the legislature. They got a hearing Wednesday. GOP lawmakers want to require universities to offer help to students based on need, not race.
One of the main effects that this bill will have is that it will put race hustlers out of business. Talking about how one person deserves one thing or another based on their race will never solve the problem.
The UW Board of Regents recently agreed to limits to diversity efforts in exchange for state funding. GOP lawmakers want to curtail some of Governor Evers's veto power. They're proposing a constitutional amendment to bar the governor from using a partial veto to increase any taxes or fees. Evers used his partial veto last July to increase limits on how much public schools can raise every year for the next 400 years. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers hire a new defensive coordinator. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Matt LaFleur putting out a statement. He has hired Jeff Hafley, age 44, head coach of the Boston College Eagles, to be the new defensive coordinator in Green Bay. Hafley's originally from New Jersey, played wide receiver in high school and a small college, had secondary coaching stints at Rutgers and Pitt, then got into the NFL, where he was a secondary coach for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Cleveland Browns, and the San Francisco 49ers. After that, 2 years as a co-defensive coordinator for the Ohio State Buckeyes, then in December of 2019, hired as the new coach in Boston. Matt LaFleur says, "We are excited to welcome Jeff and his family to the Packers and the Green Bay community. He's had success at every stop of his coaching career and an impressive track record of developing players at every level. We look forward to Jeff leading our defense." NBA, Bucks in Portland against the Trailblazers tonight. Again, Boston College head coach Jeff Hafley, the new defensive coordinator for the Packers, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
For tonight, cloud cover increasing, some areas of fog and low temperatures in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, highs in the low 40s. On Friday, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, upper 30s for a high, sun's back for the weekend, and low 40s. Currently 35 degrees.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut again.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Kaitagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, Haley, and as you know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You are right, Dega. This portion of the show is supported by Little Moments Count. Little Moments Count is a statewide collaborative focused on helping parents and caregivers learn about the importance of brain development in the first 3 years of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, let's get Chris on. And we have a guest, Chris Hoplin. And we're going to discuss and jump right into this, Haley. You know, what Little Moments Count and also the group Reach Out and Read Minnesota's program that Chris is the executive director on. And I want to talk to her and thank her for coming on to Native Roots Radio. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
This is great. And we, I just have to say this before we get going, we've loved our partnership with Little Moments Count, and one of the reasons is great guests like yourself that are on, and I really appreciate you coming on, and I want to get our audience familiar with you, and I want to ask you if you can share with us your journey and how you became involved with early childhood development, and then eventually leading to your becoming executive director of Reach Out and Read Minnesota.
Yeah. My journey with early childhood development really started with Reach Out and Read Minnesota. Prior to that, I had done work in the nonprofit space, but mostly with older youth. It was an interesting journey because I started with Reach Out and Read shortly after I had my first daughter. So this early childhood development sort of coincided with my own parenting journey, which has been really interesting. And I've been here 10 years and it's fascinating because all the time we learn new things about early childhood brain development and all of the amazing things happening in kids from zero to from birth to five. And so it's just been a real learning journey for me.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we kind of realize and talk about here, especially when we're talking with educators of young people or our Native young people, is how important it is to be read to know what books are about at a very, very early age. And then by the title of your organization, Reach Out and Read, it says it all. Tell us a little bit about how you get the word out there.
Yeah, so we partner with currently, I think we're at about 300 clinics and health centers around the state. And what happens at these programs is that a child comes in, and every time they go to the doctor for their well child visit, from the time they're born until the time they go to school, they're presented with a brand new book, culturally and developmentally appropriate book. And then the medical providers, whether they be doctors, nurses, they are using that book and talking about the importance of talking and reading and singing together from birth and why that's so important to early brain development. So we're really getting our message out through these trusted medical providers all over Minnesota.
Yeah, and maybe you can elaborate a little bit on what I said about how important it is and how you believe early childhood literacy contributes to really the child's overall development, but also success later in life, I believe.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's so much research out there that we rely on that shows that kids that have that relationship with their caregiver, their parent, their loved one, where they are being read to and talked to and told stories to and sang with, that they have language skills that are greater. And that really helps them even as they enter school. Obviously, they enter school more ready. It helps them with reading, but unsurprisingly to some people, it actually even helps them with things like math skills. But we also focus a lot on social emotional learning too. So it's not just about school readiness, right? It's about their social emotional skills and that journey. And we know that the sharing of books and stories together really helps create that bond between a child and the caregivers in their life. And that's really just as important as they grow up, as they have this, you know, really rapid early brain development, is for them to be, you know, to have social emotional connections.
You know, you're translating a book in Ojibwe, and I know one of the things, both of my godchildren are Hispanic, and their mother teaches them, the father speaks fluent Spanish, but also English. And it was crazy because they did not say anything until they were a lot older, because all those things were connecting in their brain because they had two languages going on. And I see that you're also translating some books into Ojibwe. Can you speak a little bit on that? Because that's a crazy phenomenon that I really never knew about when it came to speaking more than one language.
Yeah, and it's been really, really neat to see the sort of resurgence of Ojibwe speakers and, at White Earth specifically, which were was the White Earth community that actually had requested this. We have a few books in Ojibwe, but we are always working on getting more bilingual books into Ojibwe. And but in this case, we had some funding. And so we worked with Nailetta Belgard, who's an Ojibwe language arts teacher at Leech Lake Tribal College. In fact, she's the head of the humanities department there. And we were fortunate to be able to consult with her. And they specifically wanted a simple baby book in Ojibwe. And when I say baby book, these are books that we give out from like birth to two. And what babies like is to look at other babies. And so it's called My Day. And it's this beautiful book with this diverse set of babies doing what things babies do during the day, like eating and playing. And she helped us translate that book. And then we had a vendor that did a print of the book for us. And it was very cool because we worked with our Reach Out and Read colleagues in Wisconsin who also have Ojibwe speakers. And so we were able to have this print run books are being given out in Wisconsin and here. And what's really cool is that we have this vendor that is offering them at a low price point. So we're also working with childcare centers and the school district and other places that may want to distribute this book in Ojibwe. So it really kind of expands our reach. We've been excited. We're hoping to do more of that work.
Well, it sounds like it's a big, big impact on the communities that you're involved with, and having things like that and having just books like that that look like the people reading them and connecting that way in a good way. I think that's what it's all about. And that's what we've really heard lessons from Little Moments Count and all the great guests that they've gotten for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure that you've had other guests talk about that phenomenon of the windows and mirrors. And for us, as we're working with Indigenous publishers and with Native authors and illustrators and getting these books more into circulation, I mean, that's what we think about, right? We want our Native families and our Native children to be able to have the mirrors where they see themselves and their stories and their families and their language in the books that we're giving out. And then we also are working on distributing books by Native authors and illustrators to communities that aren't necessarily Native, because it's important for them to have the window to see into and learn about different communities as well. And so when we do initiatives like this, it's always for and requested by our Native communities, but it's getting the reach out on a wider scale.
Yeah, and we can talk a little bit more about that in the next segment, because I think that's a really also great byproduct of what you're doing, is you're supporting Native artists and Native writers and things like that. So I'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. Hey, we're with Chris Hopland, Executive Director of Reach Out and Read. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Ho-wa.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
As we age, it's important to invest in our health and to help protect it. Like the flu, COVID-19 is always changing. That's why it's important to stay up to date on your vaccines. By getting the flu and COVID-19 vaccines, you can renew your body's defenses and lower the risk of getting sick. Get your health boost and protect yourself against the flu and COVID-19. Find vaccines near you at vaccines.gov. That's vaccines.gov.
Magus Books, your multicultural spiritual supply store. Stop in and expand your horizons with books, classes, readings, and supplies at magusbooks.com or in our shop at 1848 Central Avenue Northeast in Minneapolis. From the best incense to beautiful statues, we have supplies and books for your spiritual explorations. Come in and chat with our knowledgeable staff and get what you need for your next adventure, whether you're fighting ghosts or opening your third eye. Check us out today at magusbooks.com.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Little Moments Count. Native Roots Radio is excited to welcome monthly guests to talk about the role that they play in early childhood development and creating bright futures and strong communities. And you can learn more at littlemomentscount.org.
Hey, thanks, Haley. Hey, we're with Chris Hopland, and she is our guest today, and she's Executive Director of Reach Out and Read, Minnesota's Program Director, and we're really excited to touch base and talk a little bit about her program and also what she's doing for, our young ones. But also, it was a byproduct we kind of left with, Chris, and you touched on that, how exciting and important it is to reach out to our Native authors and artists. And that's been probably a good experience for you, right?
Yeah, it really has. We were fortunate a few years ago. We were given a grant by the Shakopee Mdewakanton Sioux community which allowed us to actually work with Birch Bark Books here in Minneapolis, Indigenous publishing company, and their staff. And their staff has helped us over the past few years curate a beautiful collection of books that are, you know, reflective of and featuring Native characters, authors, illustrators. And these books, again, are for really the youngest kids up to, you know, age 5 and 6 when they start going to school. And so that's been great. And then we've been just in the past 18 months expanding and learning about new Indigenous publishers. So we've been working with one's called Black Bears and Blueberries, and another is called Happy Dancing Turtle. And that's, again, to really expand our collection of books that we're able to offer that, again, are reflective of our Native communities around the state, and for others to learn about those communities as well, and really featuring Native authors, Native illustrators, and stories.
Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, kind of switching gears here, could you share some insights of what the community-based participatory research project at White Earth is, and how such projects contribute to creating more community-centered outreach and READ programs?
Yeah, that was a great experience. We had a grant. We worked with White Earth Health Center and the staff there and the doctors there, as well as Mayo Clinic and the American Academy of Pediatrics. And what this project was focused on at White Earth was it was community-based participation. So it's really understanding the community and what they want. And what we were focused on is a reach out and read program that was set up to support cultural pride reinforcement there. And kind of what does that look like besides just giving out some great books? What else would that look like? And what did the community want to see? And so, of course, that helped us with the book selection. That was actually kind of what started that Ojibwe translation project that we did. But we also did English Ojibwe posters. We did bookmarks that were specific to White Earth. We did, you know, all kinds of literacy materials. And we also ended up creating a website that featured Ojibwe and folks from White Earth doing storytelling, poetry reading, songs in Ojibwe, and reading of books and sharing of books together. And this was actually partly, you know, during sort of the height of COVID. So it was this additional challenge of how could we do this, not necessarily in person, but we want something for kids to be able and families to be able to enjoy together. And then White Earth Health Center helped us distribute that throughout the community. So it was a really cool project. And you know, I think other Native communities and health centers are hoping to sort of replicate that and reinforce that cultural pride in their own specific communities too.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that too. As being director of Reach Out and Read Minnesota, are you going to be mirroring this to any other communities? That's funny you bring that up. I was going to ask you, do you guys have the capacity to do that, or are you more of a mentor to other people doing that?
Right now, well, I mean, both. You know, we definitely hope to have the capacity to do that, but one exciting thing is that we are part of a whole national network around the country. And so when we have the opportunity to do something like this, then other communities around the country can learn from us. And there's a lot of sort of takeaways from this project that I think can be implemented in other Native communities all over that are doing Reach Out and Read. And there are many of them in different parts of the country.
Oh, okay. So this is a national organization that you are.
Yes, it is.
In Minnesota. Well, that's awesome. I think I probably read that, but I have a good memory, but it's short. I should have possibly read more when I was younger. No, just kidding. thanks, Haley, for laughing. Oh, yeah. Chrissy laughed too. Thanks. Yes. Haley, do you have anything to add? I have a few more questions, but do you have anything to add?
Well, just talking about like Indigenous children's book, two come to mind quickly for me. I know Charisse's big voice, Charisse Davis, is Ho-Chunk. She has that book of hers, A Native Kid Becomes a Congresswoman. And then also Rhea Thundercloud's book, Finding My Dance. Those are two Ho-Chunk authors. Do any other Indigenous books and titles come to mind for you, Chris?
That is a great question. And thanks for the suggestions. I am not on the book purchasing side of things here at Reach Out and Read. So I am not super familiar. I wish I was. I wish I had the opportunity to be out at the clinics. And I'm over here trying to do the fundraising and the like. But But I will add that to the list. I would say for anyone listening, we're always looking for more titles, more resources. So if people have suggestions, we would love to have suggestions from the community on additional titles. We're always on the lookout for new resources and new books.
Yeah, that was a good question, Haley. Especially the, Haley and I are Ho-Chunk. That's why we bring everything. Everything circles around the people of the big sacred voice, and that's Ho-Chunk. And well, you probably already have. I think the Lieutenant Governor had a child's book out too a few years ago about her rise to Peggy Flanagan. So I'm sure you've heard of that. But that's a good question, Haley. Thank you. So asking, what is, in your opinion, what role does storytelling play in the development of young minds, and how does reach out and reach leverage, and that's a good word, leverage this aspect in the programming?
Yeah, that is a great question. Thanks for asking that, because I think sometimes people see read in our name, and I always have to sort of push back and say, of course, reading's in our name. Of course, we love books. But what we're really about and what we really talk about a lot and our medical providers in the community talk about a lot is the idea of sharing a story or sharing a book together, because there's a lot of reasons why people might not read a book. And maybe it's as simple as they don't have a book to read in their language. But we know from our Native communities that storytelling is so important and such an amazing tradition. And we always really want to support that. And what we say is, like, a lot of the reasons why reading is good for early brain development and good for kids is the same reason that storytelling is good for kids, right? So it helps with their language skills, hearing stories that are passed down to them. It helps create those social emotional bonds with their caregivers and their family members. It helps enforce cultural pride. It helps their memory, right? Just like a book does. And it helps their imagination too, which is one of the reasons why books are so important. It helps them sort of think outside of themselves than their sort of day-to-day. So I think it just really goes hand in hand with our mission, right? Which is, of course, about books and of course about reading, but really about creating those connections within their families and communities. And so I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's really all about sharing stories together.
Wow, it really, really is. And, you know, looking ahead, what are your goals and aspirations for Reach Out and Read Minnesota? And how can individuals and communities get involved in supporting your vision?
We are always every day thinking about serving more communities, more families, more kids, right? So that's our goal, is we want to be everywhere in the state, serving every child and every family in the state. But we also, as I mentioned earlier, are really focused on diverse and inclusive books and literature and resources for families. And so this is sort of at the forefront of what we do. So like I said, we'd welcome any suggestions or thoughts if people want to kind of learn more about us or what we do, to visit our website. And there's definitely ways that they can get in touch with us on there with ideas. And of course, as a nonprofit, we accept donations. We also have a very robust used book program. And so we're always accepting donations of used books that go out back out into the community.
Oh, that's awesome. And I don't know, have we mentioned how to get a hold of you? Or do we have a website and a Facebook that you could shout out to our listening audience?
Absolutely. So our website is Reach Out and Read MN. So pretty straightforward. Reach Out and Read MN.org. And from there, you'll find our Facebook, which is also Reach Out and Read MN, our Instagram, LinkedIn. And I'd really encourage people to sign up for our newsletter. We send a newsletter out once in a while. And in that newsletter, we highlight some of the things that I was able to talk about today. So it's just a good way to kind of stay up to date with what we're doing, both in our Native communities and just in general around Minnesota.
Well, I just want to say a big peeny giggy thank you. Always informative, and really, you did not disappoint us. Really great interview, and peeny giggy for helping our young ones, because they are the future. And literacy and knowing who you are is really, really important. And thank you so much for your work.
Yes. Thanks to both of you for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back, Haley, after this short break.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Approximately a dozen people have been injured in a building collapse in Boise, Idaho. It happened on airport property in a hangar building that belongs to a private business. Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron
Hummel. We've had numerous transports on this, and I'm not going to get into the condition of individual patients, because we're trying to get a hold of all family members and so forth.
National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. response to the deadly Jordan drone strike that killed three U.S. soldiers won't be a one-off.
We will have to do, we will do what we need to do to make sure that those responsible are held properly accountable.
Social media CEOs are grilled by the Senate Judiciary Committee on the alleged dangers that their platforms bring to children. Democratic Committee Chairman Dick Durbin.
Snapchat's disappearing messages have been co-opted by criminals who financially extort young victims. TikTok has become a, quote, platform of choice for predators.
CBS News Brief. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Dental therapists can now start practicing in Wisconsin. They can fill cavities, do oral exams, and pull some teeth. Governor Evers is also signing off on new money to boost oral care training in Wisconsin's technical colleges and incentives for Marquette University dental students to practice in underserved areas. Governor Evers is standing by Tuesday's veto of legislative maps passed by Republican state lawmakers last week.
It's important to make sure that people have, you know, good maps, to make sure that we have competitive races, all that stuff. But what I vetoed is was not in that vein.
Redistricting will likely be settled by the state Supreme Court in a few weeks. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I love Jennifer Beals, and it is my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight a guy who kissed her, Peter Moore.
I wish I could say she was madly in love with me, but we starred in the high school musical.
You and I kissed during a play once, Pete, and I will say I didn't really feel a connection.
That was also in The Boyfriend, but that was a different version of The Boyfriend.
That was The Boyfriends.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For tonight, cloud cover increasing, some areas of fog and low temperatures in the mid-30s. For tomorrow, more clouds than sun, highs in the low 40s. On Friday, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, upper 30s for a high, sun's back for the weekend and low 40s, currently 35 degrees.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
I am awake. Oh, wow. Hey, we're here with Bob Blake from Red Lake. I always have to say that one time during the show, but we're here with Robert Blake, owner of Solar Bear and Native Sun, the nonprofit leg of Solar Bear, and we're here to talk about what's happening all over Turtle Island in a good way for us Native Americans, but also just in energy and what people are doing right now. And we're just excited, and I've learned so much, and it's great to have you on as always, Bob. Welcome.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Robert. It's great to be on. There's so many good things happening in the solar energy field, or actually just renewable energy, climate justice, the Biden administration. I'm sorry, Robert, I have to say it because, you know, we're starting the campaign season, right? And Solar Bear is not trying to do that. But I just want to point out all the great things that are happening because of the Biden administration, the biggest investment in climate history, and a lot of great projects are happening across the country. Manufacturing, Robert, is... nonprofits and other agencies, government agencies, are getting funded all across the country to mobilize their communities to, you know, really start preparing our citizenry for, you know, the for climate change. And so I just want to point that out because I see the other debates on TV right now, and the caucus just happened in Iowa, and you know, it just, I see all these things happening, and I just want to point that out because I don't know exactly, Robert, if that investment by the federal government, would it have sparked all these millions and millions of dollars, billions of dollars from the private sector, right?
Right.
And so I just think that right now is just I've never seen this. And so I'm just super excited for where this is heading and all the jobs that it's creating for the American people.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we talk about the Iowa caucus, too, I always want to remind everyone that, you know, keep your head up. Don't look at these polls and help people register. And we outnumber them.
Yeah. Great point, Robert. And let's also remember, too, like, I mean, I think it was like I saw a statistic like 14% of the Republican electoral got to the polls of anyways. So, I mean, they're making a big deal out of like 1,000 people that got to the polls anyways to vote. So I don't think it's really necessarily a reflection on the entire state of Iowa that actually got to the polls and voted. So I wouldn't put too much into this because I see the orange one taking a victory lap. Like he just won, like, you know, the Olympics or something. I don't know. Right. But like, that's really only like 1,000 people, buddy. So, I mean, it's not just 1,000 people. I'm sorry. I don't know. Solar Bear does not know the exact numbers. But I'm just saying in general, like there was like the statistic wise, like there wasn't a lot of folks that got to the polls because, you know, we've got bad weather. Why do we have bad weather? Climate change. You know what I mean? And the fact that our jet stream is off right now. So people that are sitting there saying, oh, it's been so cold and, you know, this isn't climate change. No, this is exactly why this is climate change, because the jet stream is off, because all of the northern air is being brought down to the United States right now. And so that's why, you know, that's why we need to continue to vote climate champions in. And I'm sorry, my vote is going for Biden. Solar Bear said it. That's who he's supporting. And that's who I will be voting for because of the tremendous investments and the jobs that he's creating right here in our country.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think once it gets to whether it's Trump and Biden, those things will be shook out. And again, we outnumber them. I don't believe these polls. I don't believe anything about Robert Kennedy Jr., yeah, who's like a total bummer to have that name from his father. You know, he's he was always an anti-vaxxer before this whole thing came up. He was also, you know, he's somebody that morally would you really want in there too? And when I say that, it's like the guy's had six affairs, you know, three marriages, things like that, that just don't jive, you know, that somebody that morally you'd want in there, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. And I think the less we talk about RFK Jr., period, the better. So I'm going to zip it.
Well, that reminds me of an old saying, you know, there's nobody more sanctimonious than the reformed reprobate. And it reminds me of like Robert Kennedy, right? Like him, you know, just pointing the finger at everyone saying, hey, you know. But you're right. You know, I think the less that we give these individuals that are, you know, the naysayers, the doomsayers, you know right. what I mean? Like, I just feel like they're going to fall to the wayside. You know, I'm putting my money on the Biden-Harris administration. They've proven what they can do. And they're going to continue to do it. And that's what I would like, you know, everyone to know and understand is that, you know, the proof is in the pudding. There's no doubt that you can't deny all the jobs, you know, everything that has been created, you know, and it's like this all the time. The it seems like the Democrats come in, they fix up everything, they correct everything. And then the Republicans come in because they get the headwinds of all the good things that the Democrats get.
Yeah.
And you know, then they take the victory lap. You know what I mean? But Rod, just real quickly, and I know we're going to get to the solar news real quick, but I just also want to say, too, everyone, I think this is a really important time because I don't think people realize, you know, the importance of democracy right now in the world.
Right.
And what's happening on a geopolitical level with the way that, you know, Russia is strategically positioning themselves, what's happening in the Middle East, and then the way China is threatening over in the Pacific.
Yeah. Right?
And so, you know, people, this is no joke.
Right.
This is no joke. We need to be able to have our best and brightest, you know, negotiating on the world stage right now, because this isn't just about, you know, the Americans and them having to pay, you know, $2.99 for a double cheeseburger instead of $2.49. I mean, this is our, you know, our bitch right now.
Well, let's back up a second too, and I know we'll get into solar. We're going to have you for two segments, so we'll get into solar news again soon. But this is a good discussion. Inflation is always happens during the Republicans. And, you know, the reason why we had inflation during Biden's administration so far is that we've been gouged by the oil companies and all these other facets out there that don't have to do with job creation. You know, we'll never get paper towels, for instance, to the price they were pre-pandemic, because why would they have to? Why would, instead of $10 for a roll of eight, it's $20 for a roll of eight? That's manufactured inflation. You know, that's not what the president's doing. And also, Haley, I as a Gen Zer, how many times have you ever been polled?
I don't think ever.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there you have it. Who are they polling and how are they saying that this is so close because of all the things that will be reminded with women health care, becoming a second class citizen in this last Supreme Court and all these things that, you know, the American public has a short memory. But when we come up to if it's between Trump and Biden, we'll definitely be bringing this stuff up again and putting a light on it and reminding people, like you said, this is about democracy versus fascism.
Yeah. And Robert, I was just looking for one of the statistics, you know, that really points out exactly, you know, and I can't find it right now because I'm looking through my little snapshots, but, you know, It just from someone that does work with the federal government and works very closely with the Department of Energy because of, you know, the awards I received from them. You know, when we first started our project, this was shortly right after President Biden took office. We were told by the Department of Energy, literally, that the office was decimated. Like, there were just empty desks in the Department of Energy that they had to fill.
Right.
Because the previous administration decimated it and were so focused on, you know, just sending out permits, just, you know, blindly saying, yes, drill, drill, drill.
Right. He's saying it again.
And you know, they literally fired people with PhDs, lifelong.
Yes, I remember that.
Folks that, you know, and so my project ended up getting started 90 days later, right? And then it took like an extra 60 days after that. So, this is serious stuff, people. And you really have to get out and vote. And you really have to vote for climate champions. And we just got to send Biden back for another 4 years.
Absolutely. Hey, we're going to talk about solar news here with the solar bear, Bob Blake from Red Lake, in the next segment. But really good discussion, and we'll talk more. This is Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Hey, if you're like a lot of people, you're probably relieved that the holiday celebrations are over. But there's one thing that might stay with us from the holidays besides all those gifts, and that's COVID-19. Numbers from COVID are going up as we spend more time inside. And Native Americans are seeing even bigger case spikes. With all the indoor celebrations over the holidays, you may have unknowingly been exposed to someone with COVID-19. That's why it's important to stay vigilant. If you notice any symptoms like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, take an at-home test. They're still free and can be ordered at sayyeshometest.org. If you do test positive, you're eligible for free treatment, and no health insurance is required. Visit health.state.mn.us to connect with providers and receive your treatment. Let's make 2024 the healthiest year ever, securing a brighter future for our Native community.
1 year ago, I was in the accident which nearly killed me. The last year has been a lot of work recovering, and positivity has been a key. Staying positive, I no longer refer to the accident as an accident, but rather the day my Toyota Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota saved my life. That's a factual statement, and the main reason why I'll always own one for the rest of my life. Some places will talk about auto safety, but I'm a living example of why you and your family can trust a Toyota from Rudy Luther Toyota. Go test drive one today and try the hybrids. They're fantastic. Rudy Luther Toyota on 394 in Golden Valley.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Oh! Wow, that was real howls. That was good. That was real good. I like that. Hey, we're back with Bob Blake, Solar Bear with the Solar News, and we're having a little political discussion, which I think is awesome. We need to bring it up, and I just got to keep saying, Bob and Haley, we outnumber them. We just have to engage our get people signed up that are turning newly turned voting people and get them engaged, and that's win by another 10 million, 8 million votes.
Well, you know, Robert, like, you know, we talk about, you know, this situation right now, current political, right, kind of mm-hmm. space that we're in. And, you know, I want to remind people that, you know, climate change is real. It's happening. We have to do something about it. And one of the biggest emitters, and I don't think people really think about this, of greenhouse gas emissions, mm-hmm. is our armed forces.
Huh.
And there was a statistic that came out, and I can't remember it now, and I wish I had it, but it was like a couple of years ago, and I saw the statistic that said that if the federal government did X amount on their buildings alone, it would take the equivalent of millions of vehicles off the road, playing, you know, millions of trees, blah, blah, blah. Robert, so taking action, our government taking action, right? I just want to remind people, you know, President Biden is moving on this. And this is the great story here coming here. The Pentagon will now install rooftop solar panels on their entire facility.
Wow.
We're looking, Robert, at, it says here, 27 megawatts. That is huge. That is a lot of, that is a lot of solar. And I mean, I think it says a lot, right? Because the Pentagon is such a, you know, like one of those buildings, right, that I think we think of, you know, as like government, right? I mean, I know, like when I'm in Washington and I'm like cruising by, I'm like, oh, there's the Pentagon. You know what I mean? Like, like, you know, I'm Mr. Tourist Guy, you know? And so, like, I think this is incredible because, you know, this really shows the Biden's administration's commitment to renewables, to our environment, to the planet. And now, I mean, think of this as the flagship and then, you know, how they're going to then start pursuing, you know, the rest of the buildings, you know, in the federal government and in the country. So I really love this story. I think it's awesome. It just real quickly, the Pentagon is one of 31 government sites. So there's going to be 31 to begin with. 31 to begin with, receiving $104 million in Energy Department grants, you know, to install 27 megawatts of clean energy capacity while leveraging $361 million. So that those tax credits, those private investors are going after those tax credits from the federal government while probably signing power purchase agreements, you know, with the Department of Energy. I don't know how they're working it, but I'm just saying that's probably what it sounds like to me. And I just think this is a great story. And kudos to the Biden administration for making this happen.
Absolutely. And it's interesting, too, when you talk about the Biden administration, when you were talking, I was thinking what you said earlier about empty desks with getting rid of all the experts. The experts are back and working for Biden. It isn't like Biden's doing everything and, you know, has his pulse on everything. He's just got great people working for him. And I just wanted to throw that out there, too, when it comes to talking about the age or whatever, like, you know, things like that. It's just, you know, he's got great people working for him.
Well, yeah. And I would point out, too, that, like, you know, for young people, Haley, your generation, your folks, right? Like, you guys are the biggest, you know,
voting block
coming. I mean, this really, you know, affects your generation. And I mean, honestly, if I was in that block and I'm thinking about my future, I know who I would be going for. And, you know, someone that is like actually looking out for it.
Yeah, the future of the next generations, right? And to make sure that we have an earth to have it, you know.
Exactly. Well,
the earth will still be here. You might not be. And that's a thing, too, to engage and not listen to all this negative things, because I think we get barraged in social media and the news. And I know Gen Zers don't listen to the news, but, you know, all this false narrative all over social media and that nobody's checking on anymore freaks people out.
Yeah. Yeah. No. And you know, this kind of segues, Robert, into the next story. Which is about the Wisconsin Senate, Robert, passes a pair of bills that would make it easier for private businesses to host charging stations all across the state and they can also access $80 million in federal construction aid. Now, the reason why this is important is because Wisconsin was one of the last holdout states, you know, among the 50 that was saying no to, you know, electric vehicles. And I think part of the situation, and I just did an interview for NPR, which is airing tomorrow on electric vehicles. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, I had talked about in that interview was, you know, one of the questions came to me was, well, people, you know, are worried about range anxiety. They're worried about that their car is going to stall. And it's like, and I use the analogy, well, and just from Minnesota, if you were going to Duluth and your car was at a quarter of a tank, would you stop at a gas station to fill up? It's not any different than, an electric vehicle. You know, if you were going to Duluth, you'd probably want to fill it up before you went, right?
Right.
Same concept, same idea. Here's the difference, Robert. We need the infrastructure. We need the infrastructure up. You know, there was a point in time where we didn't have all these service stations all over the place, gas stations all over the place. As a matter of fact, I was in St. Cloud the other day, and I seen two DC fast chargers just sitting to be installed at the Holiday station that I had stopped at.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's people is a perfect example of what needs to happen. We need to put the infrastructure up. So we need bills like this, and we need our politicians to understand the importance of why we need these charging stations up, so folks can feel comfortable that, you know, if they are going to say Madison, right, you know, they can say, oh, well, I can pull over to the side here and charge up, you know, in Beloit. I don't know. But I'm just using that as a as an example of just, you know, that we need to be able to have these all over the place.
Yeah, and that's exciting, and we need to, you know, I heard a funny thing, and I don't know if it was from you, but it was funny, the resistance between horses and cars back in, you know, the 1910s, that people really resist that, and I feel it's kind of the vibe right now, too, with renewable cars and batteries, and also that's exciting news for Wisconsin, because we got a lot of listeners in Wisconsin. And I know of a theater that could probably be turned into not only a charging station, but a battery station. We should talk about sometime, Bob, because I just have a question about that. So would you, if you had a battery station, would you be getting that from other sources, or would you have to have your own energy source like solar panels and wind?
Oh, well, I would love to, I would pair the battery station with a renewable energy collector like solar panels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or a wind turbine, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To store the energy. So absolutely, you'd want some type of renewable energy source connected to it, so you could store the energy and then use it for later on, right?
When the price is up higher. Robert, thank you so much. Great conversation. As always, really good to see you, my friend. If you're listening to this show, you're part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It's the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and get your renewable energy going on your roof. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
And free Leonard Peltier now.
The AM, your home of the Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Hey, everybody, it's Todd Elbow. Thursday at noon, our old friend, columnist, and Renaissance man, John Roach, stops by. Don't miss it on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you was.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. A dozen people in Boise, Idaho have been injured in a building collapse on airport property. The hangar is owned by a private business, Boise Fire Operations Chief Aaron Hummel.
There was a large-scale collapse of the building. The framework of the building I don't know what caused it, but I can tell you that it was a pretty global collapse that occurred. The main structural members came down. It was fairly catastrophic.
No word on conditions. Another atmospheric river bears down on the West Coast, bringing heavy rains and high winds. Weather Channel meteorologist Chris Warren.
Going to see a lot of snow in the mountains, feet of snow, but possibly flooding. Rainfall is expected across especially some of the mountains in California. Landslides possible.
The Senate holds a heated online child safety hearing. Social media CEOs with TikTok, Snap, Meta, X, and Discord faced questions over sexual exploitation protections. CBS's Jo Ling Kent